present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a notice to passengers in Liverpool, read by Diana Speed.
Mersey ferries are cancelled today because of bad weather. A replacement bus service is in operation.
Our thanks to John Newton for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Aisha Hazarika. And opposite them, on my left, Sunday Times political editor Tim Shipman and Lucy Porter. Andy, what may be cause to celebrate?
Sorry, I didn't mean to sigh. just speaking for the nation. Right, well, in this week's episode of Deal or Manage No Deal, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, once again found herself at the mercy of the parliamentary arithmetic. And basically what happened was that the DUP ordered her to go back to Brussels and get the backstop binned. I don't really see the point of all these trips now that she's making to Brussels, you know, unless she's worked out that her time is limited and she just wants to bank up the air miles. I don't really see there's much point. And if Westminster really wants to advance the negotiations, then they should just send Arlene Foster and cut out the middleman. Actually, that's not a bad idea, you know. No, seriously, I honestly think the EU negotiators probably would give Arlene Foster concessions, if only to get her out of the room.
I think Andy's absolutely right about sending Arlene Foster in, because she is the hardest woman in politics, let's be honest, isn't she? Do you remember she did this briefing once? When you've got red lines in politics, she's got blood red lines. And somebody briefed out from her team, this is going to come down to who's going to blink first, and she's just cut her eyelids out. Now, Theresa May, the naughtiest thing she's ever done is run through a field of wheat. She's basically up against the Joe Pesci of politics.
I don't know quite what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time when Theresa May reports back to her handler and says she hasn't got anything. I mean, in theory, she is reaching out to other parties. She had a meeting with Jeremy Corbyn. As I understand it, they had a conversation that lasted 14 minutes, and then presumably they had to stop because they couldn't handle the excitement.
Do you think it's been a glorious week for our brave leader, Tim?
Yes, another one, a triumph. Nothing has changed. It's all still a triumph. This is Groundhog May, isn't it? But the good news is there are new developments this week, because the Prime Minister has put in charge of the negotiations three of her most talented ministers, Lidington, Barclay and Cox, which sounds a little bit like a bunch of upmarket sex therapists. The first bit of sort of bonding, as Andy said, that they've managed to do, they've brought together May and Corbyn, which is a bit like getting pandas to mate. On balance, it's been this has been a triumph. Theresa May spent 2 years telling us her deal was the only option, and everybody said no. So she turned around and said, well, let's do the exact opposite. And that's all going to work very well. And meanwhile, we're planning for no deal and potential martial law, and we're living in such strange times that story made page 2 of my newspaper at the weekend. But it's all going to be fine. We're running out of food, but Sammy Wilson of the DUP has said, well, it's fine because we can all just go to the chippy. So, domestic food production is going to be good. I've probably written more words about this mess than anybody else, and the way I'm getting out of it is to try and have a baby in the next week. But as a member of the Cabinet said to me earlier, don't worry, it will still be a shit show when you get back.
Name names. Who was that?
It was about half a dozen of them, actually.
I mean, it'll be over one day. There'll be a deal. It'll be Lapland++ or something. But, I mean, I'm just looking forward to the day when some of the more disturbing aspects have gone away. There's a trend at the moment. I was watching the news the other night, and they'd sent a reporter to Chelmsford, and this middle-aged chap said, "We liberated France, we liberated Belgium," and I thought, that is a gross abuse of the word "we." You know, we didn't do that. You know, our parents and our grandparents did that. The only people entitled to use the word "we" in that context are people who now are in their 90s. You know, and it's actually, I think it's mildly offensive to that generation who went through that to compare what they went through with the self-inflicted whinge fest that is Brexit. The worst one was a Tory Brexiteer MP whose name escapes me, because they all sort of blur into one by now, don't they? They all look like they're made out of pastry. I think it's... Is it Mark?
Francois.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, "Well, my father fought at D-Day. He wasn't going to be pushed around by the Germans, and neither is his son." And I thought, well, he probably said that as a kind of tribute to his dad. But it is actually, when you think about it, a little insulting, isn't it? To compare landing on a beach in Normandy in a hail of bullets with sitting on leather benches going, "Here, here," whenever Jacob Rees-Mogg opens his gulp.
It is great that Aisha managed to identify him immediately from the description. Looks like he's made of pastry.
And, of course, the food shortages thing is getting really, really scary. Ben and Jerry's have said that that's the ice cream they're going to start stockpiling. I mean, I've been doing that for quite a long time, just on the safe side. And, actually, there is government advice that you should get quite fat, just in case. That is what I'm telling to my mum when she makes any comments about my jeans. I'm like, this isn't weight, this is stockpiling. Actually, I think you'll find...
You don't want to make yourself look too tasty, though, do you?
This is the news that MPs have voted for a deal put forward by Britain's new Boadicea, our gracious grey-haired Gloriana, Theresa May. She has decisively snatched something that in a certain light could be said not to be defeat from the jaws of something else, which, in fairness, also looks quite defeaty. Essentially, she's chosen to reopen the wound on her forehead by continuing to bang it against the same rugged brick wall. Or, as the Daily Mail put it, Theresa triumphs. EU chief negotiator Michel Barnier immediately responded that the Irish backstop will not be renegotiated and is part and parcel of the UK's Brexit deal, a parcel which, ironically, will now be excruciatingly difficult to get from Britain into Ireland. Carolyn Fairbairn, head of the Confederation of British Industry, said the amendment feels like a real throw of the dice, except in this case, we've thrown the dice into the sea. And also, it wasn't dice, it was all our food and insulin. The BBC was forced to apologise after showing footage that suggested Theresa May would fly to Brussels in a World War II Spitfire. She will, in fact, be transported in the usual way, in the boot of a Mondeo, with a sock to gag her screams. Two points to Andy. Tim, who's not sanctioning bad behaviour?
This, I think, is what's going on in the former socialist paradise of Venezuela, where this naughty chap called Nicolas Maduro is running amok. His people are starving. Food banks are plenty. He's passed a law that says if you disagree with him, you can go to jail for 10 years. And stray dogs are disappearing from the streets. It's sort of proof of that old adage that socialism begins with good intentions and ends with people eating their pets. They've got this amazing thing called the Ministry for Supreme Social Happiness in Venezuela. I'm not sure that's going too well, which probably shows that old Maduro has found himself the Venezuelan equivalent of Chris Grayling to run things. Apparently, there's also a four-year wait for a new car. And I was reading up again that there's a chap went off to get one of these new cars and sort of reported to the forecourt, and the chap said, "We'll come back in 4 years' time." And he said, "Morning or afternoon?" And he said, "Well, what difference does it make?" And the guy said, "Well, the plumber's coming in the morning." as ever with these things, wherever there's a sort of socialist paradise collapsing, there's also a wicked imperialist power in the background, and Donald Trump is contemplating going in and stealing all the oil again, which always works out well. So you pays your money and you takes your choice. But
it feels like a real throwback to the 60s, doesn't it? Linda Smith once said that it was very inconsiderate of these small countries to have our oil under their land. And that is very much still the attitude. The really scary thing is that I know there's talk of Trump intervening, but Bolsonaro, it looks like he might intervene militarily. He's moving troops towards the border. And Bolsonaro, you're talking, that's someone who's possibly madder than Trump, which is a sentence I never thought I would ever utter. But
yeah, but I just think the Trump thing is going to be very, very interesting, because I think you're right about the oil stuff. The Americans are obsessed about oil, and Trump's only really interested in Venezuela because he's heard they've got these huge reserves of crude, which he thinks means a really large stash of porn.
I just think American intervention is very much like my cooking, because there's always lots of oil involved. I steam in without really knowing what I'm doing, and many people die.
There is that sort of sense suddenly, people are, there's a sort of cross-party thing. I mean, Jeremy Hunt has been... got very involved. He's urging the EU nations to impose... It's the EU nations, he thinks, should start imposing sanctions, which is...
I sort of imagine people look at us trying to get involved in world affairs now, kind of like, you know, when you let the dog sit at the dinner table? And you're like, oh, look, he thinks he's people! Like the little joke nation where they're like, oh, isn't that sweet? You know, we're insisting another country has a new election because of political chaos being caused. It displays a slight lack of self-awareness, really, doesn't it?
This is the news that UK Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has called for sanctions on figures linked to Venezuela's embattled and controversial president, Nicolas Maduro. Leader of the opposition, Juan Guaido, rode a wave of public disillusionment with the government to declare himself interim leader and is now plotting with the military. It's not for me to put ideas into anyone's head, but... if Jeremy Corbyn's listening, the St John's ambulance stands ready and can march on Downing Street within an hour. This is one of those situations where one really misses the delicate touch of Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary. Wandering through the streets of Caracas, eating an entire chorizo and muttering, "Tricky chap, Johnny Siesta."
If Maduro is forced to step down, will he come and live in Weybridge? Because that's where Pinochet ended up, wasn't it? St George's Hill estate in Weybridge.
Would you like him to move there, Andy? Would you be more likely to visit?
I did.
Has it been the distance that's been keeping you two apart?
I did once inadvertently set off Pinochet's burglar alarm. Yeah, we were doing we were filming very close to there, and the special effects man had underestimated the size of the explosion that we were filming. And there was this big, huge bang, and pretty much every burglar alarm in Weybridge went off, but included Pinochet's. So that's, you know, that's the nearest I've got to meaningful political protest. Kind of,
there's that sort of Terry and June, doesn't it? Sort of dictators in Weybridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sort of Maduro in a sun lounger, sort of falling back Theresa May spills a thing.
Quick, hide the booze, the vicar's come for tea. Yeah.
Well, this is very exciting. I've got to say the words, 2 points to Tim. There we are. Well, I rather enjoy doing that. I won't do that. 2 points to Tim. to Tim.
No. He's gone all method. It's going to be a nightmare. Yeah.
2 points.
Go on, Tim. I just enjoy. We're all shouting things we enjoy with Tim in it. That's
steady on.
Aisha, who just won't quit?
This is the former Labour MP for Peterborough, Fiona Onasania, who on Tuesday was jailed for, I think it was 3 months, for a sort of speeding offence. She got caught speeding, and if she had just fessed up to speeding, it probably all would have gone away. But instead, she made up a big porky pie and said that it was someone else. And then the whole thing escalated and she got caught and she has been sent to prison. So she's been asked to serve a custodial sentence, so she'll be locked up with no access to the outside world, and most of us who are covering Brexit are quite jealous of her. It's quite a big deal because it's the first sitting MP to be sort of, I think, in jail for this amount of time for about sort of 30 years, and she's refusing to stop being an MP, so she's going to carry on getting her salary. So everybody is up in arms about it.
I think it is a savage indictment, though, of modern-day politicians that even their crimes are mediocre. No, seriously, I mean, John Stonehouse left his clothes on the beach, faked his own death and disappeared to Australia with his mistress. You know, Jeffrey Archer and Jonathan Aitken tried to defraud thousands out of newspapers by perjuring themselves in libel cases. You know, they thought big. Where's the glamour of yesteryear? That's what I'm looking
at. Stonehouse came back and spoke in Parliament after he'd been declared dead, after they'd had a minute's silence for him. He had the gall to come back. He still made speeches.
Yeah. But that's probably in the House of Lords, was it? You can make a speech when you're dead there. But it's true. I mean, obviously, it's wrong to lie to the police about whether you're right, but it is for what? And how much was the speeding fine?
It wasn't even very much. But the other thing that's interesting is that the Attorney General has now got involved and said that he is going to look to whether the sentence was too lenient and it should be extended. And he won't do that in other horrendous cases. Like, there was a horrible case recently where a woman got murdered by her partner and he refuses. So I have to say, I think it looks a tiny bit politically motivated.
Yeah. I suppose she didn't want... It was 3 points on her licence as well that she was trying to avoid, which you do think, well, it's a lot of fuss to avoid 3 points on your licence. She was trying to supplement her income with a Deliveroo job, possibly. I don't know. I tell you what worries me about this is if you can continue to be a politician while you're in prison, that might set quite a dangerous precedent for America.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about this is the excuse she used. I mean, everyone's blaming sort of Vladimir Putin for Brexit, and she claimed that a Russian was driving the car at the time. She said, yes, I've got a cunning plan. To avoid these points, I will blame it on the Russians. Unfortunately, she didn't check that the Russian in question was in the country at the time. But it's, you know, I mean, it's quite good preparation where she's been. I mean, she's going to be confined, completely out of touch with the rest of society. I mean, you'd have thought an MP would cope quite well in those circumstances.
She presumably... So if she is going to... She's trying to continue sitting as an MP, so they'll have to... She could see her constituents during visiting hours, I suppose. I wouldn't mind. I'd actually go and see my MP. My MP's Nick Hurd, and I would love to see him banged up. I would... Hi, Nick. And I would go...
Just means you've got to have very strict surgery times, I suspect.
Yeah, actually, MPs would probably like it. And you could smuggle Hansard in a cake so she knows what's been going on.
It's fun in there as well. I mean, Lord Taylor of Warwick, who's one of the last parliamentarians to be jailed, he said he made more friends in jail than he had in the House of Lords.
This is Fiona Onasanya, the former Labour, now independent MP, who doesn't currently have quite as much independence as she'd like. Since she's serving a 3-month sentence for lying to avoid a speeding ticket, Onasanya is the first sitting MP to be jailed since 1991, when it surprisingly turned out that Sir Teddy Taylor had been the getaway driver in the Brinks Matt Bullion heist. Just did it for kicks, apparently. Who can blame him, frankly? Onasanya has already been expelled by the Labour Party, so at least we know what the line is for unacceptable behaviour. Bang on about Hitler all you like, but do not lie to the DVLA. 2 points to Aisha. And at the end of round one, the scores are Andy and Aisha have 4, and so too to Tim and Lucy. Are you happy with 4 points, Lucy?
I felt Tim deserved more, but, that's lovely. I just was saying it's the same every week.
The score?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the news. We start round two with a special offer from the Swan Restaurant in Henley.
This Valentine's Day, book a table for you and your loved one to celebrate with a sumptuous five-course lover's dinner. 10% discount for tables of three or more.
Lucy, where is cold weather snow joke?
Aha. This concerns the polar vortex. So the polar vortex is a wind which circulates cold air around the Arctic region. But this year it has split in two, creating a double vortex of cold wind, which, by the way, on a weather map, the double vortex, if you've seen it, it looks quite a lot like a pair of breasts. That's what I call a cold front.
Two points.
Yeah. So the double vortex, the polar vortex, has made it very cold in America, which was an opportunity for Trump to do his joke that he loves, where he was like, oh, I'm a bit cold. Where's that global warming when you need it, right? Which he always does. My dad always had the joke that he did, which was, what did the Spanish fireman call his two children, Jose and Hose B? My dad told it as, what did the Spanish fireman call his two children, Jose 1 and Jose 2? Because basically, my dad didn't understand how jokes work. Very much like Donald Trump doesn't understand how global warming works. Because what's happening is global warming is causing hot air over the Arctic, which is pushing it down. So America's been very cold.
Minus 40, wasn't it, in some... I think that's scientifically cold enough for a Geordie to put a shirt on. But they advised... Apparently, they were advising people that if they went outside, they weren't to talk, because inhaling the cold air could be dangerous. I mean, that would be hell for English people, wouldn't it? Imagine weather that's too cold to talk about.
We're lucky it was happening there, though, rather than here. I mean, I was very struck, this warning about not going outdoors. The Chicago Tribune, the local paper, their splash headline was, "Expert, don't go outdoors." I mean, that wouldn't work here, would it? Because 52% of the country would be dead because they're sick of experts. I've got a friend over there, and I said, "How cold is it?" And he said, "It's so cold that people are sitting around pictures of Theresa May's smile to warm up."
But in Michigan, there is a town called Hell. And it has frozen over, which probably explains why Jeremy Corbyn agreed to meet Theresa May. So it's been very cold, and it's been quite fun. I love an extreme weather story. I'm like the Daily Express in that respect. And and I've enjoyed all the stuff. They did a thing where one of the reporters froze an egg on the pavement, because this is how you measure weather, is what an egg does on the pavement. Because if it's hot, they always go, "Oh, you can fry an egg on the pavement," and now it's cold, you can freeze an egg on the pavement. I think the weather should always be what happens to an egg on a pavement, right? So you threaten, you go, "Carol, what's the weather?" And she's like, "Oh, well, the egg's wet. It's rainy. Oh, the egg's rolled into the gutter. It's windy. And... God, it's foggy. I can't see the egg. I can't see the egg."
This is the news that some parts of the US have reached lower temperatures than Antarctica, thanks to a phenomenon known as the polar vortex. The cold weather has caused carnage in the US, where trains have been delayed, post cancelled, and President Trump has had to be reminded three times to put his mittens on. Even though Mike Pence had sewn them into his coat. The US Postal Service has had to halt deliveries in some parts of the Great Plains, meaning locals have been forced to resort to traditional means of correspondence, such as writing "send liquor" on a horse and slapping it on the bum. In America, they measure temperature by Fahrenheit as opposed to Celsius, like us in Britain. Quick reminder to avoid confusion, Celsius is the scale of temperature on which water boils at 100 degrees and freezes at 0 degrees, and Fahrenheit is the one that is wrong. Two points to Lucy. Andy, have a listen to this.
Vera Lynn, 2 points.
Andy, who can put a price on a good education?
Teachers are leaving the teaching profession in numbers. So the government are trying to incentivise them by offering them lump sums. If they last as a teacher for 3 years, I think it's they get $5,000. And if they make it to 5 years, they get another bonus cash sum of $5,000. Now, in terms of staff morale, having to bribe people not to leave is probably a bad sign, I would say. I think that's a bit of a giveaway. But, I suppose £5,000 is a significant sum for a teacher. They won't get a lot of psychotherapy for that, but... And the teachers in the tougher schools, of course, won't see the whole 5,000 because the kids will take a cut. But
it's also, I mean, in a sense, giving people bonuses for the longer they do their jobs, it sort of sounds good, doesn't it? But it also sounds just a little bit like a conventional system of pay rises.
Yep, there is that. I mean, instead of trying to give people, like, body shop vouchers and a 20% discount at sort of Debenhams, you could do something quite radical, which is just pay teachers, nurses and carers a decent wage.
And
I bet there are a lot of teachers in tonight. Because, yeah, because no, during the applause, I could hear the swishing of elbow patches.
Andy, could you just go and stand in the corner and have a think about what you've just said?
And if the government really wants to help teachers, they'll do something completely outlandish, like give them a 6-week summer holiday or something.
No, you're not.
Tim, we just worked out...
I should
out
stress that both my parents were teachers. So that was there.
It is such a thing. I mean, I know because all like my friends who are teachers, and it is that thing of people going, "Oh, but you get a short day and you get long holidays." And I mean, it is the most because you just go, "What do these people think that they do? Just work from 9 to 3? Like they just like that teaching is like improv, like you know."
and it, their day doesn't end at 4 o'clock. I mean, I remember chatting to a teacher a few years ago, and I asked her, "What's the worst thing about teaching at the moment?" She said, "It's the email from a parent at 10 o'clock at night when you know they've got a bottle of Merlot inside them."
God, yeah, that's me. I do just think the absolute gratitude to anyone who will take my children away for the day. And I mean, I love them, but you can have too much of a good thing, can't you? And I do think it's... Do you know, did you see Jess Phillips' speech this week about... she was talking about the fact that, you know, the government is saying anyone who earns under 30 grand will be classed as unskilled. And, you know, you think a lot of teachers, when they start out, are earning less... than that. And I mean, you know, there have been years where I've earned over 30 grand and I'm definitely not more skilled than a teacher. I put my purse in the toaster the other week. I'm in, you know. And
how did it taste?
Like a post-Brexit treat.
This is the news that teachers are being offered cash lump sums for staying in the profession in a bid to solve a national staff shortage. Education Secretary Damien Hines said this ambitious strategy commits to supporting teachers, particularly those at the start of their career, to focus on what actually matters, swallowing your existential anger and confusion and taking it out on the under-12s. The incentive is known as the Early Career Payment Scheme, which is considered snappier than the original title, Please God, Don't Quit. Children are dreadful. There is no one else to do it. Under the proposal, teachers will be awarded lump sums of £5,000 in their third and fifth years, although that money is immediately taken away if during that time they sit on a backwards chair and say, "Guys, you can call me Gav." The government has told teachers they're trying to find ways to address why there are less people staying in the job, to which teachers replied, "Actually, it's fewer." 2 points to Andy. Lucy, have a listen to this. Lucy, what's an arm and dangerous?
Okay. This...
No, don't be coy.
This is the story of a sentient robot arm. And it's one of those stories... There's so many of these at the moment where I read a story and it just makes me go, so this is how we're going to wipe ourselves out, right? So what has happened, engineers at Columbia University in America have built a robotic arm. They didn't program it to do anything, but it worked out what it was capable of all by itself. Like, just blow your mind. I don't even know. It poses all kinds of questions about the nature of consciousness and what is a soul. Things I'm not sure that we can get into on a light-hearted Radio 4 panel show. But it's phenomenal. So it started off just making random sort of uncoordinated movements like a baby or a politician on Strictly. And then gradually, within a day, it was performing basic tasks. And now it can do most things that human arms can do, like lift, push, and stick up 2 fingers whenever Jacob Rees-Mogg is on the television. Right. So it can now arrange blocks, it can write with a marker, and it has been described as having self-awareness. Right. And it's got a massive hand, and it can think for itself. It's the opposite of the President of the United States of America. it's worked out what its purpose in life is. I'm 46 and I haven't yet done that. Just blew my mind. It blew my mind, the story. I read it and it just seems so cruel to kind of make this thing self-aware.
Do you think it went, I get it now, I'm an arm? Or do you think it went, just an arm? Thank you.
Sentient and bitter.
Yeah.
Very exciting, though, isn't it? A robot that can work out what its purpose is. I mean, surely we should send it off to Brussels to do the Brexit negotiations. But apparently it's got self-awareness. That's the one thing separating it from the people doing that at the moment.
Are there, at the moment, right, there's a robot arm. Have they made other bit? Is there a robot leg? I mean, if he meets up with his mates, can he make a whole person yet? Or do we... Because when he's just an arm, he's going to be a bit limited.
It's just a matter of time. And
I mean, until they make the penis, we won't be really in trouble. I mean, I'm not being sexist.
A self-aware penis.
It's got it.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous, Miles. Do not be ridiculous.
I'm a penis. Yeah. But again, of course, you could just edit and play that on its own at any random part in the show. We could have a very short, very extraordinary show in which...
I'll have that as my ringtone any day of the week. That'd be great.
This is the news that scientists at Columbia University claim to have built a sentient robotic arm. The arm is the closest scientists have come to a robot that is self-aware. The scientific breakthrough will answer the age-old question. What is the sound of one hand clapping while it slowly strangles you to death? The team said this is the first time a robot has shown the ability to imagine itself, unlocking the fundament of the human experience. Complete disappointment. After moving for 35 hours at random, the arm was eventually able to realise the limits of its capabilities, much like me at a wedding with a DJ and a free bar. After 35 hours, the robotic arm had mastered a number of simple tasks. After 45 hours, it wondered what life was all about before growing a ponytail and moving in with a much younger robotic arm. It now sits alone on a windowsill, relentlessly tapping out the Morse code for kill me. Same thing happened with my dishwasher. 2 points. To Lucy. Before we reveal the final score, has anybody got a cutting the all-important final scores? I can't wait to find... That is going to be a... There'll be riots. Or letters, as Radio 4 listeners call them. Before we reveal the all-important final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share? Andy.
It's from Bill Swanson. and it is from The Telegraph. It's an article regarding the plight of Komodo dragons. And it says, the provincial governor says the endangered giant lizards need a break from contact with humans. The once fearsome predators have become lazier in recent years, in part because the surge in tourists has given them easy food to scavenge.
Two points to Andy. Aisha.
This is from Natasha Hall, and this is a horoscope. This is Leo. And it says, restless thoughts can be a result of Mercury's edgy angle to Uranus.
2 points to Aisha. I'm going all out. 2 points to Tim. Tim.
This is from Jerry Fagan, who was...
Two points. I'm being unhelpful.
This is from Jerry Fagan, who was listening to my old friend Tom Newton Dunn on the Westminster Hour, commenting on how Tuesday might have gone for the Prime Minister. Is it still going to be Theresa May? Can she pass her motion?
Lucy.
This is from Veronica Proud, and it is an advert for Sooty's Magic Show at the Theatre Royal Lincoln, which is on the 31st of May 2019. Tickets probably available, I don't know. So it says, Izzy Wizzy, let's get busy. Join Sooty for his brand new Laugh Out Loud Magic Show. Direct from their hit ITV series, Sooty, Sweep and Sue, and TV's Richard Cadell will amaze with impossible tricks and side-splitting jokes. Be astounded at Sooty's flying car, Sue's singing unicorn, and Sweep's levitating sausage.
What they were doing, didn't they? They knew what they were doing.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Andy and Aisha have 12, but this week's winners are Tim and Lucy with 14.
Before we leave you, here is the wonderful Jeremy Hardy giving us his distinctive take on the world.
Jeremy, who's got here by the skin of their teeth?
Various young, vulnerable people are being brought in from the Calais refugee camp. And some of the kids, it is said, look older than 18. But it is very hard to gauge how old people are because different experiences will age you. If you've grown up in a war zone and you've made it from Afghanistan to northern France on foot, apart from a brief sit down on a leaky dinghy in the Aegean, that will age you, as will the fact of not having slept for about a year. That will age you. Listeners, Miles has five young children, and despite being under 40, looks like Margaret Rutherford in her later years. Myself, I'm prone to stress and worry, and despite being a mere 55 years old, I resemble a quilt made from offcuts of Keith Richards and W.H. Auden. The trouble is, when you're a dad, you think, well, life's not going so badly. The daughter's safe, she's growing up, she's 9 years old, and, you know, she's at primary school, she's doing all right, reasonably happy. And then you think, I'm 38 years old and I've got bleeding nits. I'll be sitting in a meeting with some arse of a producer from somewhere, and I'll be sitting there scratching, and they'll say, oh, is anything wrong, Jeremy? I'll say, oh, good Lord, no, just nothing wrong, just head lice. And you can't catch them, they're tiny wee devils. Otherwise, you know, if you could trap them, you could, you know, collect up a lot and throw them over the walls of private schools. I think most jobs are utterly pointless anyway. Unless you're a nurse or a bin man, the chances are your job is utterly pointless and does nothing to augment the happiness of humankind.
Well, you can all leave here with sunshine in your hearts.
Donald Trump has chosen this moment to moot the idea of teachers being given firearms. Now, it's easy to snap to instant judgment, and obviously, overwhelmingly, most British teachers are thinking, yeah, can we? My year eights are a nightmare. If we take the inspector hostage, do we get a good Ofsted? That would be the instant reaction. But what he's saying is, he doesn't mean all teachers should have guns. I mean, that would be daft. What he's saying about 20%. About 20%. And he says the ones who are firearms trained, perhaps somebody who was in the military, still gets flashbacks, but he's sort of stable. Somebody who was a police officer who took early retirement over a death in custody. He's now basketball coach.
Jeremy, which court decision had drug companies sitting up and taking notice?
This is Viagra, the tablet form Charlotte Green. And if you don't have an erection and you want to have one, the simple answer is to fall asleep with your flies open on a National Express coach. Now, that, I'm giving that advice for free. I don't even want a consultancy fee for that. That's my gift to you, the audience.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Andy Hamilton, Tim Shipman, Aisha Hazarika and Lucy Porter. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Diana Speed. The chair's script was written by Madeline Brettingham, Max Davis and Mike Shepherd, with additional material by Jane McCutcheon, Vivian Riddoch and Catherine Brinkworth. The producer was Sarah Sharp, and it was a BBC Studios production.